Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
And we're so glad you can join us for this week. We've got Rogier Shaday with us, and he has prepared questions, and I will answer them to the best of my abilities, and we'll see what wonderful themes we can come up with this week. Rogier, thank you for coming on our show, and thank you, as always, for the work that you do for us. And please give us your best questions.
On the mystical world we live in, the other show, we did one show on Earth Changes, which was really, and 2012, which was really a extension of a video we did for YouTube, or actually two videos. And a viewer and listener, actually, of the shows was asking about this Earth Changes theme. And he wrote me a letter with a number of points in there, and I thought I'd sort of fire them at you about this Earth Changes theme. And the first one is, could the Holy Mother not give more of a definite guidance as to where we should be globally, as in safety, when such things would be transpiring? And he asks it specifically because he says that he's convinced that a lot of people who may be living in their minds, but he still feels that they, even though they lack the vision to see what's coming, that they shouldn't have to suffer necessarily. So I think that's kind of what the question has as the background, asking for if there shouldn't be some sort of guidance forthcoming.
Well, see, the area that's problematic, and it's not a problem in the real sense, it is just a problem from where we stand. In other words, you know, sometimes a higher order is looking very chaotic when you're standing, looking at it from a lower order. So to go through this, it's absolutely true that every day Mother gives guidance for humanity. Mother changes laws of reality for humanity. Until the day that Mother stands forth with Father in self-sustaining oneness, and the two of them stand forth and speak those words directly and without the slightest doubt that it's coming from Source, to the world, we have a situation where the only way, other than that Mother is starting to speak more and more to individual people, but the one that is working with the work that Mother is doing in terms of being the key turner in the physical as she turns it into the other levels. And what I mean by that is Mother writes something into the Book of the One Life, or the Book of Life. There are two different books that determine two different realities. The Book of Life determines our reality. The Book of the One Life pertains to Mother's reality, things that she changes and the whole big picture shifts. So every day as she writes it, she gives me the words, and I have to put it into English in physicality. Everything must be lifted up from physicality. So what I'm trying to say is currently Mother has given me a specific role. It won't be my role forever, but it's my role for now. Like my students are asking me, you know, can we receive all this information out of the libraries? Yes, they are. But where we coordinated is through me. Because somebody in Ireland is getting it, somebody in the United States, somebody in Uzbekistan is getting it. It's coming. They don't know that the others have gotten it, and they each have a piece of the elephant. And so I put the tail and the tusks and the ears on the right place, and I put it together for them. I'm like that facilitating point between light workers and mother in my current role. It's not what I am. I am all things, just like each of us that's on this program together. But it's my role. Okay, so now to explain further. I can tell people where to go and where not to go. If they ask me the questions, I take them to Mother. I am the messenger. She gives the answer. I give it back to you without a shadow of a doubt. The problem is how many people even know of my work. And those that do know, and we just recently had somebody on the same YouTube program on this issue of the Book of Revelation and 2012 that I discussed, write to you, Ruchir, and say how blasphemous I am. You know, I've had people in Ireland burn my books, you know, because they say I'm blasphemous. Because during all the years of the Ascension, I couldn't find the true God of truth. Mother couldn't remember. I couldn't find him. And all I found were imposter gods. I have always spoken my truth, even when it's unpopular. In August of 2007, we encountered the area from which the true God of truth, the Father, was holding the space for the cosmos. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, people, it's very few that in their hearts can feel that truth changes moment by moment. Whatever it is, I will speak it, whether it's popular or not. You know, there are others out there that are, you know, wishing to change them. I had a lady put some comments on something. She got a free Belvas Bata initiation worth $200 normally when masters initiate a minimum. And somebody into Belvas Bata, she got the 2 days of class. She couldn't handle it. We gave it to her for free. We gave her money back. All of it for free. You know, but total attack on some website somewhere and so on. So, I mean, people don't all accept what I say. I am currently the way that such information would be given other than the odd article or two or light worker who knows it's just time for me to move from here to here. So en masse, unless people are become familiar with my work and Mother is paving the way more and more for them to be able to see the truth and validity of what I'm speaking, my brothers and sisters, there isn't really a way that I am currently able to tell 150,000 people in China you need to move and for them to listen to me.
Okay, but there's, for example, later in the letter that I received about this, you know, this person is openly pondering this notion of how really all these diverse groups that are tuned into the coming times, say earth changes, etc., should really sort of be united and collated into a cohesive unit and be guided, and that would be the ideal, you know, by the Holy Mother. But really, so, you know, they have thought of that, but like when you look at the actual the actual quotes in of the letter, they write, since the Holy Mother is in charge of what is happening throughout these earth changes, couldn't she give us a more definitive guidance as to where exactly we should be? And us in this case is, I think, at least at the very minimum referring to light workers, etc., that are at least tuned into what you're doing.
Okay, well, first of all, why light worker groups can't be united with all of their prophecies coming through is A, there's several reasons. The first reason, A, is the fact that you cannot get the right answer as a prophet, as an oracle, unless you're asking the right question. The right question is not what is going to happen in 2012. The right question is, what year are we in? So until someone asks the right question, they're going to get the wrong answers. So that's number one. Number two, it's very difficult to ask the right question unless you have been living day and night and working at that cutting edge level where so many changes have happened that it's the smattering that I write in my book. It's the most important ones I'm writing in the book, but it's a mere section of it. So unless you've been at that cutting edge, it's hard to ask a question like that. I can understand why light workers are not asking, what year are we in? But instead, what's happening in 2012? So I am just saying, you know, I'm seldom put in a position where I have to compare myself with, say, somebody else's teachings, and I shun away from it. But to answer this, you won't have the right questions unless you know the changes that are taking place day by day. So the next reason why this would not be an issue, a good idea to gather all the light workers together and Mother gives them instruction, is that prophecy inherently is not correct. Because prophecy is for the moment, this moment, that you see ahead. So groups that are out there thinking they know based on something they saw 2 years ago are so out to lunch because of what has happened. I am out to lunch with what I have written. My brothers and sisters, I must be the teacher on earth that makes myself wrong more often than anyone else, because every day I have to tell you, by the way, yesterday what I wrote, that's now no longer valid. This is now valid. It's true that we have to understand yesterday to be able to understand today. But the point of the matter is, I was one of the first that said, this is the year this will happen, 2011, there will be a third world war, you know, 2005, there would have been earthquakes in LA, there would have been riots, there would have been resulting racial issues, famine here. I went through the whole thing because I saw it crystal clear in 2004. When the earth started to ascend in 2005, at the beginning of 2005, the entire future changed. It changed day by day by day by day as the ascension has started in earnest from that first week in February till now. So what prophecies can we possibly give other than what's this moment, when by tonight Mother might entirely rewrite the pattern of life, and a prophecy is only seeing what could happen based on today's pattern. That big pattern has changed several times since yesterday.
Okay, so just...
So you see, the only light workers that could possibly gather would be ones that do not think they know. That's number one. Number two, we would have to coordinate because currently I am the only one that is in that liaison key position where I am witnessing the changes that are happening day by day. And so, you know, it would have to be for us to even ask the correct questions.
Okay,
and it's the way I'm working, actually, with the sacred orders all over the world. I don't even come up with the questions anymore. They do, because of their visions and their experiences. And they send it to me, and then I ask Mother, she makes the changes, I tell them what Mother just did, so they have validity, so they know that what they're seeing is correct, so they're encouraged and they can keep going.
But for the sake of argument, if we just say that when he asks, couldn't we get more definitive guidance as to where we should be, if this we just refers to let's say, people who... work with you and are tuned into your work. Let's just assume we're just talking about them. Couldn't more definitive guidance be given as to what is quote unquote safe and what isn't globally?
Well, it cannot. Though indeed, I tell you, there are times that I have stepped in and said something. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was in 2005. I stepped in and I could see that gold was going to go through the ceiling and that money was going to buy less and less. And at that time, I said to my students, take your savings, take your retirement funds. Some retirement funds can be, by your request, put into a gold fund. Get into gold. But physical gold is the best because of what is coming. You know, and people were very hostile about it. What are you now, a financial guru, you know? Well, you know, that, they didn't think that when gold went to $1,000 an ounce. I think it went there. But
it's certainly been there, yeah. It's probably a bit less now, but...
Yes. But the point is, then gold was $350. And that when I told them that, and, you know, there have been times when I the finances at the beginning of this year was so wobbly that I said to the group, my email group, I said, you've got to do something. Make sure you have cash on hand. Make sure that some of your savings is in your safe, in your home, or wherever it is. Make sure you have some cash. You know, it's always wise to have that. That's how bad things were in January. Mother came up with a huge plan to change the pending financial gloom that I saw in that moment. But I did say, at least have that, not out of fear, but because it's a handy principle to have. It gives you fluidity. So let's take a quick break, and I know that I haven't answered it properly, but we'll come back right afterwards.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. So I want to just refine my answer a little bit because I felt that's a little bit off key. There are frequently messages sent through my email list that is, in fact, what this brother is asking for, guidance. But it is in a different form than what he suspects. Mother will tell me if there is a very specific issue that needs to be immediately dealt with by light workers. My brothers and sisters, how is it that all these things have been prevented? A, because of Mother ascending the cosmos out of reach of these cataclysms, but B, through the inner work of the light workers. It's our biggest contribution is the changes within. So let's say there's a pending flood in Timbuktu. Okay, so Mother will not say, hey, everybody in Timbuktu, get out of Timbuktu. Because to do that would imply that we are the victim of circumstances and that things haphazardly happen. That's not the case. Mother will instead say to us, well, the flood in Timbuktu is because of unexpressed passion. Find a place where your passion can be expressed. And find it quickly. This is a crucial aspect that is currently being solved. I will send that out on an email per Mother's instruction to the group. The light workers who are these major pivot points of reality will do it within their own life. They will find the aspect because they know that to take it seriously. As they transmute a passionless life into one with passion and joy, immediately the possibility of the floods might diminish. It might have some flooding inward. 10 people might be killed instead of 10,000. So, it will diminish it. This is how she prevents prophecies, not by telling us to move out of the area.
All right, and I think one other relevant, when you look actually at the question, is also the assumption is that Mother is the one who's guiding these earth changes, but I've been wondering, because that doesn't seem to be correct either, does it?
Guiding the earth changes as in producing them?
Well, he says, since Mother is the one in charge of these coming changes,
mm-hmm.
Well, is that the case?
Okay, let's take a look at what the earth changes are. The earth changes is where graceful change is resisted. That is the result of the earth changes. So it's not that Mother is creating them. It's that we are creating them by resisting graceful change. The more and more people that can be brought out of their ruts of thinking they know to a place of instructed fluidity, which is where, you know, these programs that we're doing, that's where we're doing it from. It's instructed fluidity, because I can today tell you that the moon is in the sky, and I can tomorrow tell you, sorry, the moon's no longer in the sky because of this, this, and this. And then the day after, I can say, Mother has not placed the moon back in the sky. And I'm giving a very silly example. But the point is that the instruction is not static, because if it's static, it becomes belief systems. So it's fluid instruction. The more we can get people to relinquish what they think they know, and the more we can have them get to the place of humility where we can bring through exactly what Mother is doing, they will receive information, they'll fax it to me, I'll put it together, you know, then we have a fuller picture. We are accessing moving truth, not static truth. If we do that, the dramatic changes that we call earth changes will not be needed. Mother is doing everything that she can do without simply taking away all our freedom of choice to ameliorate them, to make them easier, to make them graceful. So if that means Mother is in charge of them, then it's a correct statement. If it means that she produces them to clean the planet, no, they are a natural result of our resisting the wonderful ways in which she's cleaning the planet. Make sense?
Yes, it does. There are more points in this letter which I will touch upon, even though they'll, for the most part, be answered already. But nevertheless, the second question in it is, if we could use, as in, would it be appropriate to use white magic to protect us from the elements of nature in such cases?
Very good question. Yes. Very good question. And absolutely yes. Because, see, this is the point. Until Mother gave me instruction that this is the time that we start to bring back white magic to humankind, I absolutely, as a metaphysician and working between the worlds, shunned whatever inclination one has to think of what magic is. I shunned it because I saw the sources of the magic available on the earth at that time, and they were tainted. They were derivative, whether they were used for good or not, from black magic. And I could see where they'd come from in working with the unicorns. They gave me information in working with the history keepers of the cosmos. They gave me information. The unicorns have magic. The history keepers have magic. Everyone has magic. But the true source for man at that time wasn't on Earth. So I shunned it. You know, I wanted perception. I didn't seek anything like that. But when Mother said, it's time to bring it back, and here is what it is, I understood that every time we use white magic, we are actually removing illusion. Because it's untaintable, it's incorruptible, and it cannot be used against the will of the infinite to bring about its perfection. We are currently the white magic that we have received, and one of the groups of masters, one of the orders that I work with, is actually compiling them from the different books into one. But the incantations, the spells, the beautiful, incorruptible white magic that has been coming out of the libraries and forth from the various kingdoms, it can definitely be used to reveal perfection where there is illusion. Where there is perfection, there is no need for earth changes.
Okay. And there's one more weary question in there, which, I think has been answered already, but maybe you have some more to comment on it. Namely the following, if there shouldn't be special protected places for us, and us here is in inverted commas, and I think assuming like light worker communities or something like that, but I think you've answered this already, but maybe you have some more to say.
Well, it's good that we look at that, because I'm sure people are asking that. My brothers and sisters, I don't care if you're on a coastline or a fault line or anywhere else. The safest place in the cosmos is created around you, in your immediate environment, by the purity of your being. It is in our purity of heart, and it is in our purity of character and our impeccability that the safe place is created. We are led where we need to be through the heart. So living a path with your heart leading the way is the safest place you can be. It's when you are in mind that life becomes unsafe, because it obstructs the information coming through from source. In our previous program, we actually gave the information, and it was a previous program, where we gave the information of where our learning now comes from. And it comes directly from source, no longer through these hard knocks of life. And that it is accessible when we silence through surrender the dialogue of the mind. If we can have total trust in the infinite being, and if we totally surrender, if it's a mantra, I surrender, I trust the infinite mother, that silences the mind which arises as resistance to life. And in that place, all things are revealed to you. It's mind in its arrogance that demands evidence. Okay, so, you know, heart is telling me I should move from point A to point B. So mind all of a sudden says, I want evidence. So it looks for seismic activity reports over the last year and so on. It's mind that in its arrogance obstructs the guidance of our heart. The safest place to be is in a state of purity. And purity and innocence, by the light brothers and sisters I have dealt with on previous shows and other shows, purity and innocence comes by living in the moment. You cannot be in the moment when you are living through mind, because mind pulls us out of the moment into the next or the one before. So the key to purity is the same key to the safest place. It's in living with total surrender in the heart. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back. We are now in the third segment of our show, and we welcome you. It is so wonderful to know that you are there sharing this hour with us, truly from the heart, my brothers and sisters, because I can feel the oneness of our hearts and that you are truly our light families. And thank you very much for sharing this journey. So, Ruhir, what else would you like to take a look at? I don't know if there are more questions about this topic or if you want to move on.
Well, in the previous section, you were talking about really what is the safest place to be and how that's clearly connected to living in the silence of the mind and the heart and so forth. And we know what at the other side of the spectrum, the other end of the spectrum, we have the mind arrogance and going totally against any sort of promptings of the heart, but still, you know, what of the kind of more gray area in between, which this person is actually asking about those whose vision is simply obscured more? Does it therefore follow that they will just have to sort of deal with the consequences of their dialogue in the mind? Because, you know, there are also people who are aware of their dialogue, and then they're not living in silence, but still find themselves unable to, not indulge it, and or just unable to get out of it, basically.
Yes.
Like an addict.
That is a very good question. Let's take a look at that. See, we have had a very infantile relationship with the divine, and in the gift of the unicorns, it traces throughout the cycles of existence how we've been in relationship with the divine in the way that mirrors an infant, a toddler. You know, we're basically now in sort of a relationship with the divine of, say, a nine-year-old. The point is, we have said, please save me. Please tell me what to do. Please spoon feed me what I need to know, and then, you know, please clean up a mess if I make a mess. So this is sort of where we've been. And when a child starts to be 9 years old, it is time for them to start to take responsibility for some things in their life that they didn't have when they were, say, four. So it's time for us to grow up vis-a-vis our relationship with the infinite. So before, we would say, please tell us when to move. Like something is unavoidable, something we're a victim of circumstances, and we're trying not to be a victim of circumstances. And then we feel, that the infinite mother is going to just save us. That might have been fine and well, but she is expecting us to behave at a more preteen level at the very least and take some responsibility. Let's say there are 10,000 people and there is a flood coming. So there's two ways that it can affect someone who is listening with their heart. They either can know that they need to move out of the area where the flood is coming, or they can grow up. And if they grow up, they will go into silence of the mind. Every single piece of work that I do is designed to produce within the listener silence of the mind. I stretched their vision further than they've ever gone because of this work with Mother. That puts that dialogue of the arrogant, egocentric mind in its place and says, listen, you cannot approach this with your mind. It's beyond reasoning. When we start talking of microclusters, of cosmoses and strands of cosmoses, it's so far beyond reason. So every book I've written is designed, and they go in order. First of all, you can pick anyone off the shelf because Mother has promised me that you will find the right one. But if you want to study them in order, they were written in a specific order. Life of Miracles, Journey to the Heart of God, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, The Ring of Truth, and incidentally, The Ring of Truth, and I am getting round to your answer, I promise. The Ring of Truth, my brothers and sisters, was a book that was so important that I cannot tell you how many levels of tampering went on with that book. I had to totally, once those dark gods were gone, I had to reproduce a second edition. Make sure if you get the Ring of Truth that it's the second edition. So I had to totally, the whole pieces of it disappeared in printing. Incorrect statements were made. After we had edited the book, major, major interference because of how important that book was, because of huge changes in cosmic laws, and the light workers had to know. So then came the Ring of Truth. After the Ring of Truth came Aruba Sirina, Book of Fairy Magic. Yet again, it looks very pure and beautiful. But there are photographs in there that photograph the Infinite Mother's crown. Fairies, beings that logical mind cannot grasp. And it must ultimately admit that it doesn't know everything. After that came the gift of the unicorns, and after that came opening the doors of heaven, the translation of the first set of plates that we did out of the sacred libraries. After that will come Windows into Eternity. And Windows into Eternity deals with an unimaginable insights into the infinite's being, what it is, how reality is made. And it will also give us some of the secrets out of these libraries. So every single one of it is a journey for us to overcome the dialogue of the mind and enter into the mastery where we have the option of being silent. My brothers and sisters, when you are in mastery, you have now gone from infantile relationship to a masterful, mature relationship with the infinite being. When that is the case, if a flood is coming to your area, you don't say, where do I move to? You say instead, what can I change within that this flood represents? Floods represent emotion that come out in a ragged way instead of a gentle way. So what is there in me that I can change? And as you change it within, because you are now in the silence of the mind, you are able to affect many hundreds of thousands of beings around you. When you go into ascended mastery, you can affect the whole world. My brothers and sisters, you change that flood. You are the safety beacon for every being in that area, even though they have not silenced the mind.
But just say hypothetically that I'm a reader of your books living very far away. I don't have the funds to attend your classes and have suffered a lot of abuse in the past, so this dialogue in the mind, no matter what I try, is just, you know, keeps on rearing on. Then would it be, I mean, what would you say to that then?
Well, the point of the matter is that if every moment we stalk ourselves, we watch ourselves not to resist life and not to act from the programming of conditioning or labels, we can produce it ourselves. But secondly, we at this point have literally hundreds of hours. It's not hundreds perhaps, but it's well over 100 hours of free internet radio, in archives, video clips, when people have read our books so that they are familiar with the terms. We have an additional free website, free program with video in it that allows me to go into deeper esoteric truth so that I don't have to keep defining it because people are not familiar with the way I use terms. If they've read books, they can contact our office and get a password that puts them on that free tuition. There is so much free work that I've done to pass these truths on as rapidly as I get it. You know, mostly teachers don't do that because they're teaching, in many instances, not all, from closed circuits of bodies of information. Mine is never ending. I'm happy to pass on as quickly as I get. And so, you know, there is that available to them. The other way to do it is to find a way of living. Choose one of the three ascension attitudes, which is love or praise or gratitude. And, you know, the Ascended Masters once told me, now I don't know if this is accurate because I haven't tested it, and it was before we moved, so time was different. But they said if we can find gratitude for every single solitary thing in our day, and they told me this before time changed in 2005, we can ascend within 2 weeks. Now, love, praise, and gratitude is available to all. What it takes is concerted effort and awareness. Because if we just think of our bodies, how magnificently they are made, how humanity mirrors the starry skies and the infinite being in its microcosmic form, there is so much to be grateful for. You know, the songs of birds, they're incredible. And they've changed. Because as the frequencies in the cosmos change, every year their songs are different. I know because I have a little swallow that sits on the eaves of my roof and talks to me. And I talk back and he talks back. And every year he talks a little differently. If we're not aware, we won't even know that flowers are changing the direction of their blooms as the day passes. They change. You can tell the time by looking at specific flowers and where they're pointed. They don't all change at the same pace. There's so much to be aware of. If we're aware, it will flood us with love and praise and gratitude. It's unawareness that makes us ungrateful. And unawareness comes from taking life at face value, which means we think we know. And if we do that, we're back into left brain's tyranny. That is within our control. My brothers and sisters, let's take a few minute break and we'll be back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, and we're in the final segment of our show, and we're very happy that you can join us. Ruhir, what would you like us to tackle?
I would really just like to close off the letter from this listener or viewer, and in which he says that, you know, this letter about the earth changes. I read the incantations given to us by the Holy Mother in the book The Ring of Truth as often as I can. I even obtained the languages of the Holy Mother CD, in which I've learned the proper pronunciation of the words. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because that's sort of how he signs off the letter, because it's, of course, does convey a lot of, like, magical tools we can use sort of in our daily life to ensure that our environment has a smooth sailing, don't you think?
There are enormous tools available, and they're becoming available all the time. Every time, like today, I'm instructed to draw something which represents the building block of life. There is this consolidation of building blocks that we spoke about, which is profound, and I think it was two shows ago. Profound. Well, the point of the matter is that Mother wishes me to draw this one building block today. I can't even imagine what it would be like. I mean, it's not that I have to produce it. It's that it's in one of the libraries. I just have to copy it. So the point that I'm trying to make is the libraries that are opening, and we have currently received information that I've written down in 80 different libraries. Today will be library number 81. And in doing that, many of the libraries have produced glyphs, like glyphs for abundance. We've got at least 3 or 4 different spells for abundance from the different libraries. There are symbols that attract abundance, all of these things. And we're trying to get those books out as rapidly as we can. You know, the financial issue for me has been, something I've just had to say, listen, somewhere this is going to come from, because it runs me about $10,000 a book. And for a business that's making its debts and certainly, you know, staying solvent, but we have at least $40,000 to $50,000 worth of books to either print, or we're translating Life of Miracles into Spanish. So we pay for the translation, we have to have the Spanish version printed and then distributed. So the point is that, you know, this is our first translation, but there are 4 books currently being written. All of the information is pouring in from different sources, and all of them are being written at once that could be published this year. That's $50,000 on top of the advertisement to let people know, which is another, usually at least 50, to let people know that the books are there. So, you know, I just have to trust the abundance. There are symbols for abundance everywhere if I live the laws of abundance by not withholding life from myself. Then life cannot withhold its sources. But that, you know, somehow must flow in. We are putting those books as electronic books on my website as rapidly as we possibly can. There are tools in it that are just amazing. the Balvaspata tool alone, which is the gift of healing that I have freely given, and there's self-initiation available in the Ring of Truth and in opening the doors of heaven. But those tools of self-initiation, of white magic, mother's languages, we just produced language CDs, as Rogier pointed out, that gives you the proper pronunciation of it. What is all of it doing? Why will this brother's life for sure change as a result of what has happened? His saying mother's incantations in mother's language, especially with the correct pronunciation that he's now learned from those CDs, every night, oh my goodness, the pattern of his life will change. We have given you before this issue of putting a round of cardboard on the glass and putting metal shavings on there, and your tuning fork goes ping, and the metal shavings will make a pattern. You use the next note up, it will make a more refined pattern, and the pattern becomes more and more refined. Using those languages or the tools that are being made available refines the tone that produces the patterns of your life. The patterns will go to a higher and higher order as your template or pattern of life moves to a higher order. My beloved brothers and sisters, it releases power to you. The more power is released, the more effortlessly life changes from a pattern to another pattern. So it's a wonderful circle that feeds itself. So anything else that I haven't covered?
Well, you were kind of on the roll. I thought you were going to go on a little more. I think for today I only had a question about the supporting attitudes and in relation to the ascension attitudes, but I'm not sure if we have enough time for that one.
Yes, we sure can. In Journey to the Heart of God, we say that the three primary attitudes are love, praise, and gratitude to bring about your ascension. We said that there are seven supporting attitudes. My brothers and sisters, we're back on this issue of the attitudes following the mathematical sequences that we have been speaking of in our previous shows, where we said that the Fibonacci sequence is not the sequence for higher life, that it is like a flower. And we will show this on a website that's currently being constructed called the Arupa Sirina website. It's the same name as one of the books. But it shows you the petals of a flower with all these incredible holy glyphs inside of them. Three petals in the middle, around its center, is love, praise, and gratitude. It awakens the primary three sets of codes in the spinal column, in the pranic tube, and in the DNA. Then there are seven. There was a time when man had only three DNA strands, two visible, one invisible. Then he had seven. Then he had 12. And as we said on the last show, now he has 20. Because the 20 is, that's the mathematical sequence. We can predict that man eventually will have 33 DNA strands and eventually 54 DNA strands. Mother has been combining these strands into a single unit, to a single strand, if you will. But it's the combining of them doesn't make their attributes any less. In other words, you know, we equated it to a collage. You can have three different photographs, but when you paste them all over each other, it ends up as a collage. So it's in the same way that DNA strands are currently functioning as a unit, like a uniform field where they're combined, but they each have their own functions. So the seven supporting attitudes were that which would awaken the additional codes of the DNA. We currently actually have 20 supporting attitudes. In other words, we would have 13 additional attitudes. I do not know what they are. If you will write them down, if you promise to do that, I will ask Mother what they are, and let's see if I can do it quickly enough that we can fit it into the rest of our program. Okay, I'm just going to speak them in English for brevity's sake, but I'm going to translate from Mother's language, so forgive me if there are little pauses in between. Total surrender. Magnanimous allowing. Belief in the perfection of self. Faith in the divine guidance. Revelation, meaning we know that we can get what we need from Source. Purity. Innocence. Compassionate understanding. Divine guidance. Humility. Not thinking we know. Thoughtlessness. All-encompassing vision. Self-responsible manifestation. Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for sharing this time with us. We will be with you again soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.